Play fake. Beathard sets up deep in the pocket. Goes down the field for Smith.
Oh, he caught it! Smith! Touchdown, 85 yards, Iowa! C.J. Beathard!
Oh, maybe one of the few moments of happiness this week for me in terms of listening to stuff. Good evening. I am Hank Jones. You are listening to Hank Jones Polysports here on Global Patriot Radio, where we can be found at blogtalkradio.com several days of the week. Mondays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Vito Esposito and Big Al. The Vito Esposito Show featuring Big Al. 6 p.m. Eastern, Mamma Mia, No Sharia. Wednesdays, me, Hank Jones, with Hank Jones Polysports, where politics and sports collide. 6 p.m. Eastern. Saturday nights, Minister Usama Dakduk with the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. And on that note, go back and listen in the archive, both to that show and to Vito's show from this past couple days. Great stuff. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio, Holger pops up with a show on occasion. Look for that. Southern Sense, Annie, on Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. American Airwaves, the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show. Not sure if they're on target right now. Joe Gibson, Tuesday nights, I believe 7 o'clock, Restoring Our Republic. Sally with American Statesman on Mondays at, I believe, 7 Eastern Time. Audrey Russo at audreyrusso.com, another great show. Tim Tapp, Tap Into Truth, brings some great stuff. I'm here on the official Hank Jones Polysports Space Force Observation Out Mini Aussie is fed. The wife is working over in Acoustic Hankland. She's been sick, but she's improving daily. Today's first internet laughy, there is none. There's nothing laughy this week from the internet, folks. Let's face it. Let's get the obits out of the way so that I can at least say I accomplished something without screaming my head off. One I missed last week, former mobster Tommy Gambino passed away October 3rd, last Tuesday, at the age of 94. He was the son of Carlo Gambino, the namesake of the Gambino family. He was a capo under his uncle, Paul Castellano, who was named by Carlo to succeed him before he died. Carlo Gambino was married to Paul Castellano's sister. Tommy was considered weak and pliable enough that he wouldn't seek revenge when a group led by John Gotti took out Castellano outside Manhattan's Sparks Steakhouse in December of 85. I remember where I was when that news came on. I was in Hawkeye Mike, who's listening in on the phone. I was in his car, as I believe a Mercury Bobcat, otherwise known as a Pinto with a good gas tank, when the news came over the radio that that Castellano had been whacked. Tommy Gambino ran the trucking, union, and garment centers for years. He cemented his mob ties, by the way, by marrying Frances Lucchese, the daughter of Tommy Lucchese, the boss of that family, the Lucchese family, which was originally the Galliano family. After Castellano's death, Gotti actually strengthened Tommy Gambino's crew because of the trucking and shipping and garment connections. Tommy Gambino later served 4.5 years in prison for racketeering and conspiracy charges. Effectively out of the active part of mob life after he was released in May of 2000. Last Wednesday, we lost former PGA and senior PGA Tour golfer Reeves McBee at the age of 84, won the PGA Club Pro National Championship, and then had 3 wins on the senior tour. Last Thursday, we lost another mobster, Italian Camorra mobster Francesco Matrone, in prison at the age of 76. The Camorra, which is Naples' version of the Sicilian Mafia, which is the root of the La Cosa Nostra here. That was the root organization, actually, of Al Capone and Johnny Torrio. They took over the Chicago outfit in the 1920s. We also lost NFL Hall of Famer Dick Butkus, who died in his sleep at age 80. He was born and raised in Chicago, played his college ball at Illinois, was drafted in the same 1965 draft class as running back Gale Sayers. He later made TV and movie appearances, including several commercials for Miller Lite. He endeared himself to many, okay, at least to me, with his TV infomercial for the Quick Cook Grill. I think it was basically a round trash can that you filled it with newspaper and lit it for a quick fire to quickly cook burgers and hot dogs. I never had one. I definitely aspired to owning one, but at the time I was given a George Foreman grill, which is not as cool as the Quick Cook grill. Yeah, Dick Butkus was truly one of the all-time greats. You will find his name on pretty much every version of every all-time team that any list makers put out there. Was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Okay, quickly, listen to the show. Come on into blogtalkradio.com. Look for the live button. You can hit that, then go down to the right-hand side, lower right, and look for Chatters, and you will see Global Patriot Radio. Or you can come into the chat room, get an account, it's free, log in. That's what Duck Northwest Media and Holger have done today. You can partake in the chat or just listen. Or, heck, you can call in, 319-527-6706. That's what Hawkeye Mike has done, he is listening in. Let's continue with those obits. Like I said, Butkus, one of a kind, truly the best, one of the best, if not the best, middle linebackers. I know some people will say Lawrence Taylor. Some Bears fans will even say Mike Singletary. But Butkus was the original all-time Bear great. Friday, we lost Chef Michael Shirello to anaphylaxis following an allergic reaction. He's only 61. He was Food and Wine Magazine's Chef of the Year back in 1985. He was in Florida at the time. He relocated to his native California in the 1980s. He worked and owned several restaurants, also ran a family winery and some retail stores that sold like wine and culinary accessories. He actually joined PBS for two different cooking shows before he moved on to Food Network. He did a show called Easy Entertaining with Michael Shirello. My wife and I loved that show. It's a great show. He competed on several food competition shows on the network as well. Did well, although he didn't win. It's literally one of my favorite shows. My wife and I loved it. He had great recipes. He had a really great style. Just a great cooking and entertaining show. He was one of those guys that would, you know, if he did a Thanksgiving show, he didn't dumb it down and say, you know, do just three dishes. He didn't try to have me do all 12 dishes. He didn't try to say, just do a couple of turkey. I mean, he would do a giving meal for you, but it wasn't – he simplified it. He made it so it wasn't, you know, imposing or intimidating for the average cook. Saturday, of course, was the surprise attack and massacre in Israel by Hamas forces from Gaza and later Hezbollah forces from Lebanon. Certain Iranian officials have taken credit. Hamas and Hezbollah have thanked Iran for weapons, logistics, and financing, but now Iran's current scumbag in charge actually denies direct involvement, although he applauds it that he denies direct involvement. At this point, approximately 1,000 Israelis have been killed, also Americans. In addition, hostages were taken, including Americans. And while Israel can probably give up-to-date and accurate numbers on an hourly basis, American officials can't nail down either the number of Americans killed or the number of Americans held hostage throughout Israel and Gaza. Good God. Also Saturday, Nepalese mountaineer and Sherpa guide Tenzin Lama Sherpa was killed in an avalanche, just 35 years old. He once climbed all 8,000-meter peaks in a span of 92 days. Very sad loss to the Sherpa and mountaineering community. He also, along with his brothers, established the record for most siblings to climb Kanchenjunga, which is the third highest mountain in the world. That's really a significant, I mean, in the mountain climbing world, he's, you know, I don't want to say a legend yet, but he's a crucial figure in the mountaineering world. Monday, we lost country musician Buck Trent at age 85. In addition to inventing the electric banjo, he also appeared on Hee Haw, which is pretty much the pinnacle for any country musician who was actually a country musician. Okay, this is for the record. Any musician who calls himself or herself country who's ever appeared on The Voice or American Idol or any other competition calls himself country, him or herself country, is not actually country. He or she is a failed rock musician who backs his or her own way in to the music business by calling him or herself country. They know why they are. By the way, good as Hee-Haw was, the Simpsons version, which they called Yahoo, was damn near as good. Remember, they did it was a Homer had this girl that he fell in sort of lust with, and he became Colonel Homer, so she got on to Yahoo. I remember on Hee-Haw where they'd have those guys telling jokes down at the fence. Yahoo! It was. I don't remember if Cletus the Slackjawed Yokel was one, but it's where a guy goes, "My wife went off with my best friend." And the other guy goes, "You bit her?" And he's like, "Bit him too." God, I don't know why that. I gotta have levity here. And. Holder says he's here because he heard I was going to tar and feather Rashida Tlaib in the chat room. Not physically, Holder. Yesterday we lost former NBA coach Brendan Malone at age 81. His son Michael is currently the head coach of the Denver Nuggets. Brendan Malone was the original coach of the expansion Toronto Raptors in 1995. His other head coaching job was with the Cavaliers. And at the college level, he coached at University of Rhode Island for two seasons. Okay. One politics story today, just one. The attack on Israel, first by Hamas from Gaza and subsequently by Hezbollah from Lebanon, both, of course, orchestrated by Iran, the same Iran to which Dopey Joe gave $6 billion, effectively in exchange for five hostages. Oh, and we also gave Iran several prisoners either committed or suspected of terrorist activity. Yes, I am mad. I am so mad. I really can't think straight. So I'm going to vent for this portion of the show right up until the break that I will take before I discuss college football. And if I don't take time to discuss college football, I will smash my computer probably. I will destroy my headset. As I said, there is no internet laffy today. I don't know how there could be. So let's get to it. But before I do, I strongly recommend that everyone listen on the archive to Vito and Al's show from this past Monday. They had Gotti Adelman on, and he gave a brilliant, impassioned, and between-the-eyes account and assessment of the whole thing. I can't stress it enough. If you did not catch it, go into the archives and catch it. Maybe re-listen to it. Usama, I did not hear his whole show yet. Also, from a different perspective, but equally brilliant, I'm sure. But Vito and Al's show was absolutely masterpiece on the issue. Okay, let's start. The almost four-day silence by former presidents Barack Hussein Obama and Bill Clinton. What the actual fuck? Look, I get it with Obama. He is basically Muslim, despite pretending otherwise. He's an anti-Semite through and through, and the fact there are Jews that supported him and still do floors me. Floors me. I would guess many are non-observant and are also probably Americans who have never lived in Israel and or experienced this level of terror. But what the actual fuck? Obama gave some half-wit, half-sympathetic attempt at wanting peace. He never wanted peace in the region. He never supported Israel, and he set the example for his current puppet, Dopey Joe, with his cash gift to Iran almost 10 years ago. But Bill Clinton almost shocks me more. Though I never voted for him and think he is a major jackwagon, he at least did make efforts to promote peace in the region. He may not have ever been overtly pro-Israel, but he was far from pro-Islam. No, I won't say pro-Palestinian. I will get to that later. Sham of a term. Look, I get that we don't want Israel going into areas and annihilating them without provocation. I get that we don't want the Middle East becoming a damn tinderbox. But good Christ, Israel was attacked by savage people in savage ways using savage methods and treating the victims as inhumanely as can be done. is mealy-mouth crap about wanting peace and their hearts are with the victims? What the fuck want peace? Maybe the two of you shouldn't have emboldened Big Terror with your half commitments given with half enthusiasm. But more than that, you all would give support when you remained silent 4 days. Literally, 4 days. Then again, let's remember, Quinton was advised several times that Osama bin Laden needed to be dealt with and that we needed to take out the terrorist camps in Afghanistan. But again, Bill Clinton did have Yasser Arafat and Yitzhak Rabin shaking hands at the White House in 1993. As I said, that's why it surprises me more. In the case of Obama, every damn statement he ever made about peace in the region always referenced pre-1953 borders, in terms of borders and lands. More on that later. The squad. Look, I've long since had it with these piece of shit excuses for humans. Rashida Tlaib, who is never at a loss for words, who never shuts her fucking mouth when asked. She runs stone-faced past the media when confronted with her friggin' noncommittal bullshit statements. She went running right past, didn't stop, didn't say a friggin' thing. AOC, who obviously had to ask Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib how she should respond, comes up with this bullshit. As long as the Israeli apartheid continues, there will be conflict. Does this smug, arrogant, yet supremely stupid bitch even understand what the fuck apartheid is? What it actually means? Apartheid, as a term or system, by the way, originated in South Africa. It's not an Arab word. It's not a Hebrew word. It's not a Yiddish word. It sure as hell isn't a word that applies to Israel. Does this stupid bitch know that apartheid doesn't exist in Israel? Against who precisely does she think it's practiced or committed? First person that actually says out loud in my presence, Palestinians, is going to get a baseball bat swung at them. If you're male, at your nuts. If you're a woman, no, if you're a male, at your nuts. That includes you, Willia Thomas. If a female, right in your damn mouth. First of all, apartheid does not exist in Israel. Second, it doesn't apply to Palestinians. Tell you why. More on that later. But Jesus, Rashida Tlaib running past the media. Good God, she's never done that in her life. Holger points out Bill Clinton and Barack Obama detest Netanyahu. That is true. Which I guess would be a form of derangement syndrome. You know, they can't come out quite quickly because they hate Netanyahu. How about the 31 groups, which include professors at Harvard University? First, for a school that back as late as the 1950s was noted for its high proportion of Jews, it has done an about face. Second, as an institution that is considered among the elite of American institutions of higher learning, it sure has failed these groups. It has failed their students. It has failed the professors even. These groups and the people in them are actually portraying Israel as the perpetrator, or at least the instigator, of these attacks and raids. I have a question here. From under what fucking rock did these people crawl? I swore to myself before this I would not get into details. Jewish women being raped, like innocent civilians at a music festival being beaten, raped, and killed, or infants and toddlers being placed in cages and being yelled at and spit on by these subhuman scumbag pieces of shit. But what the fuck? How? Scenario. Can one see all this and put it on Israel? How in the fuck does this happen? Yes, yeah, I'll say the university itself came out with a slightly less inflammatory statement some nebulous garbage about the victims and peace in the region. Too little, too late for that, Harvard. This is the same Harvard attended by RFK Jr., newly independent candidate for president. More on him later. Dopey Joe, finally, after several days, came out with his We Are Solidly Behind Israel speech. Now, he did put out a tweet the day of the invasion. I shouldn't say he, his office did, said Joe Biden. Why the fuck did it take him days to come up with an in-person public statement? He has not enough balls to name Iran as an involved party or make any statement about freezing. Remember, we were told there was still possibility that we could freeze the $6 billion that you and your administration, Jesus, that's a laugh, administration, that you gave to Iran. The crap about for humanitarian purposes, possibly the dumbest, most gullible maneuver ever performed by an American president. Hell, by an American person. Ever. Period. You were actually stupid enough to use the term humanitarian purposes in giving $6 billion to a country and a regime that over the years has shown itself to be one of the worst countries and regimes in history in the area of human rights. Now, despite the fact that we did see the return of American hostages from Iran in 1981, Iran and its theocratic maniac regime hates the U.S., despises the U.S. And though it doesn't seem possible for them to hate anyone more than they hate the U.S., Iran actually hates Israel more than it hates us. I'll say that again. Iran actually hates Israel more than it hates us. Now, Hawkeye Mike just texted something. He says, it happens because there are a lot of sick puppies out there who have been brainwashed to blame Israel and the Jews for everything. It's anti-Semitism, pure and simple, and it is alive and well in academia and on the left in general. He's absolutely right. These people are sick. They're demented. They're racist. They're anti-Semites, but they're racist. Here's something Holzer sent to me on Twitter 4 hours ago, said by Ilhan Omar, declaring a holy war on national TV and calling to level a civilian population is over 2 million is dangerous and insane. Someone please ask Republicans if they will condemn these repugnant remarks. Now, again, that's part of the lie. I'll tell you why it's part of the lie, because that's not what was said. It's not what was said. Lindsey Graham said, we are in a religious war, and I unapologetically stand with Israel. But she's saying it's declaring a holy war on national TV, calling to level a civilian population. Nobody said that. Nobody said that whatsoever. Now, maybe someone from the Arab side, the Muslim side did, but nobody, no Republican said it. No Israeli said it. Netanyahu said they are at war because they've been attacked. Nobody is calling for leveling a civilian population over 2 million. Here's some of the responses. Nobody wants a holy war. Nobody wants Hamas. Nobody wants the suffering of innocents in Gaza. Now, here's a guy that said Palestine elected Hamas. God, I'm going to. Here's a guy, Kyle Becker. This guy supposedly says, I can't believe I agree with Ilhan Omar on this point. Not that I agree with her on anything else regarding the Israeli-Hamas conflict. Somebody else pointed out they were warned to leave. That's not the point. He never said they were going to level the people. They were going to go in there and do what they have to do. Okay, so as I said, Iran actually hates Israel more than it hates us. They routinely call for, they routinely advocate for, they actively push for the eradication of Israel and the Jewish people. No, I'm not talking about banishment from the region. I'm not talking eliminating the country. They are talking about eliminating everything and anyone Jewish or Israeli. That's what they talk about. They want it wiped off the map. They want the people eliminated. They literally want genocide. Openly. This is not, they don't veil it with these hidden things. They openly talk about it. And our idiot president, our installed president, or actually, more accurately, the person who controls him, puppet-like, controls him, had him announce giving $6 billion, quote-unquote, back to Iran. We seized those assets for a reason, the ones that they say we're returning. They keep saying that we're returning. We seized those for a reason. It's nothing to give back. Came ours. Okay, BLM Chicago. Okay. Good Lord, people. If any single quote-unquote nonprofit ever inspired negative connotation of the term nonprofit, it's BLM Chicago. Its response on Twitter, formerly known as, or on X, formerly known as Twitter, a meme of a paraglider to which is attached the Palestinian flag, as well as a statement saying, "We are with Palestine." The tweet on X, formerly known as Twitter, has since been taken down. However, as we know, the internet is forever. There's no coming back from such a tweet. There is no coming back from such a tweet. Yes. Paragliders were used as part of the raid, mainly into residential and other civilian areas. Many of the paraglider attackers are seen in photo and video, blatantly, sadly, senselessly killing civilians upon landing. How this group qualifies as a nonprofit, talking about BLM here, how this group qualifies as a nonprofit, given the several revelations of its leadership who are parlayed donations and grants into multiple homes, into multi-million dollar homes, into vacation homes and investment properties, it's hard to imagine even the IRS wouldn't be skeptical about its status or standing as quote-unquote nonprofit, excepting, of course, an IRS under the Obama crime organization. Still, I mean, the level of ruthless, thoughtless, disgusting meme and imaging from a quote-unquote nonprofit has got to be damn near, if not at, the very top of the all-time disgusting stunts ever pulled by a quote-unquote nonprofit. How in God's name does someone, anyone, post something like this? Sure, I'm all for the First Amendment. But this is beyond First Amendment parameters. It quite literally could be grounds on which the organization could lose its quote-unquote nonprofit status. And the messaging that the group has previously employed, you know, things such as all lives matter is offensive or no group is as oppressed as black lives, looks pretty fucking senseless at this point, doesn't it? That a group that claims 24-hour, 365 days a year oppression could respond to this type of barbaric raid with an equally barbaric meme and post is almost mind-boggling. Every meme, tweet, or other social media post that even broached the idea that George Floyd might have been a criminal or that Trayvon Martin was killed by George Zimmerman in self-defense was met with calls for cancellation, threats of lawsuits by the usual suspects like Ben Crump or the alleged reverends Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. And of course, the constant squalling from the squad and the rest of Big Left. And Holger is in queue. Holger, I will get to you in a second. I'm going to get my list and then we'll get at it. One thing I want to note, the positive here, former Speaker of the House, California Congressman Kevin McCarthy. I know he won't accept a nomination as Speaker at this point, but whoever does become Speaker better get McCarthy in his corner post-haste. Congressman McCarthy made an impassioned and eloquent and, dare I say it, brilliant speech Monday. He laid out a 5-point plan that beautifully sums up what the U.S. response needs to be and the path that the U.S. must take and what is certain to be a war that is anything but quick or short. He eviscerated Dopey Joe and the Democrats' House leadership. He didn't spare Matt Gaetz or Nancy Mace or the others among the 8 who voted him out of the speakership. And as he said, or as I said, he was brilliant. I have had issues with McCarthy, such as the feet dragging of the process of the necessary impeachment of Dopey Joe or the timid reaction to folks in the Department of Justice or the intelligence community or the IRS to the activities and wrongdoings of Hunter Biden. But this time the guy knocked it out of the park. So before we go dismissing him because he may have bungled things in his time as speaker, make no mistake, he has what it takes to get things on track as well as keep them there. Cornel West and RFK Jr. West, an acknowledged progressive, condemned the attacks, but of course attributed them to increased hostilities in the region. While he didn't excuse either side, he all but said the lack of a two-state solution was the culprit. RFK Jr., meanwhile, in a raspy growl, claims total support for Israel and said the U.S. must also be totally committed to supporting Israel. Meanwhile, just a month or two earlier, RFK Jr. had earned the Anti-Semite of the Week award from the group Stop Anti-Semitism. RFK Jr., who makes some rather outlandish claims, he said that COVID-19 was being used to target certain ethnic groups and said that this included the fact that Ashkenazi Jews were immune to COVID-19. Yeah, that's RFK. This is the same RFK Jr., by the way, who was kicked out of 2 prep schools for using drugs, was arrested with his cousin, Bobby Shriver, for weed possession, and he believes vaccines are bad, but mandates for the lower orders of us are A-OK. As I've said before, I know he's an independent candidate now. Stop with the RFK Jr. love. He is a Kennedy. He'll always be a Kennedy. The BS that he says his family is upset that he's left the Democratic Party. Don't buy it. He wouldn't be doing this without the support of his family. Other Islamic leaders, Turkish leader Erdogan said, he actually said this, that the Israeli response to the attacks is barbaric. I won't even go there. It's too mind-boggling to even begin to try and understand what kind of idiot makes that kind of idiotic statement. Utterly moronic, even in its anti-Semitic bias. As Hawkeye Mike said the other day, by the way, two-state solution is off the table. Israel won't go for it. They shouldn't go for it. And so let's get to this talk about Palestine and many of the myths of Islam with regard to that quote-unquote country, which, by the way, doesn't exist, has never existed. Let me say it again. Palestine is not now, never has been an actual country. Now, there are those morons, biblically speaking, who cite David Goliath and claim Goliath was a Philistine, and that is the root of Palestine and the Palestinian people, which also, by the way, Palestinian people do not exist. Biblically, Palestine is never mentioned. The Philistines weren't even from the region. They were more likely from Asia Minor or the area we now know as Greece. So those who talk about Palestine citing the mention of Philistines are citing people and events that existed and took place at least 1,500 years before the establishment of Islam, which is acknowledged as in the 600s, 610 AD, maybe. David lived approximately 1,500 to 1,000 BC, as much as 2,000 years before Muhammad ever existed. There was no Palestine. There was no land ruled by the Philistines. And for God's sakes, the two are not the same at all. Let's talk about the alleged apartheid in Israel. First, as I said, there are no Palestinians. Founder of the PLO, Yasser Arafat, was not a Palestinian. He was from Egypt. He was avowed communist with a capital C. At his death, Yasser Arafat was worth over $1 billion U.S. dollars. The current PLO or PNA leader, whatever you call it now, Mahmoud Abbas, is also said to be worth over $1 billion, and his sons are worth hundreds of millions. Quote-unquote Palestinian people get poorer by the day, year after year. These guys, their leaders, have become wealthy beyond belief in comparison to most Americans. Compared to their supposed countrymen, it approaches infinity, as in getting closer to but never touching that asymptotic line of measurement. It almost literally can't be measured how much wealthier these guys are than their countrymen. Can't be measured, the difference in wealth between them, Arafat or Abbas, compared to the average quote-unquote Palestinian or, frankly, any Arab, Persian, or other Muslim. How about the occupied territories, Israel? By the way, those guys got you rich on gifts. They didn't go out and make money. They got rich by gifts from other Arab countries, gifts from the UN, which they then parlayed into investments. How about the occupied territories Israel has? Nope. Every territory held by Israel beyond its original borders came as a result of attacks by various Arab factions, whether from Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, or elsewhere. Israel never, not once, went into and took territory of its own initiative. But for some reason, whenever discussing peace proposals for the region, Barack Hussein Obama would reference pre-1953 borders. Why? What was so important about pre-1953 borders? Well, I'll tell you. That was back before Israel was forced via invasion to not only annex those areas, but be responsible and provide for them, as in every bit of technology, infrastructure, and economic prosperity in these areas is the result of Israel making the investments in the same. In other words, peace, as I said, wasn't what Barack Hussein Obama desired. It was control of economic assets and opportunities, i.e. a fucking wealth grab. That's the kind of person idiot America elected as president, not just once, but twice, including reelecting him after he sacrificed diplomatic and military personnel in Libya and then blaming anti-Islam cartoons that 99.9% of Libyans had never seen. Further, after the invasion of 1953, Israel announced that any Arab wishing to leave Israeli territory would not only be free to do so, but those who wished to stay would be permitted to do so, with full privileges up to and including citizenship. Talk about stark differences. Those who left live, like most of the subjects, under the PLO, PNA, or other invaders, while those who remained in Israel enjoy a standard of living equal to that of average everyday Israelis. Non-Israelis serve in government, including its legislative body, the Knesset. How many Jews do you think sit in government in Gaza, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, et al., if there are any, and I don't think there are, it numbers far less than the number of non-Jews serving in government in Israel. And how about that little ditty that Muhammad began his night journey from the Dome on the Rock, i.e. the Temple Mount, i.e. the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem in 619 AD? It's where he supposedly ascended to heaven to meet God. Yeah, no. There is no other evidence of any sort that Muhammad was ever in Jerusalem, other than wording in the Quran that has been reinterpreted to mean that and reconstructed. Otherwise, nada, nothing, anywhere that notes Muhammad traveling to, visiting, or residing in Jerusalem. The stories in the Quran were manipulated, reordered, and later combined to make it part of the Quran in order to make sequential sense of various events, including the death of his wife, as well as other alleged visions and prophecies. Okay, I'm going to take Holger on. Holger, how you doing? I can't. I mean, that would bring levity to this situation, and I'm still so pissed I can't even think straight.
Oh, I'll tell you, I was glad to hear you mention Vito and Al's show on Monday, because I'll tell you, I've been watching. You know, I'm a huge fan of Israel, huge supporter of Israel, and so I've been glued to this thing, absolutely glued to this thing, and I have yet to see or hear anything that comes close to the information that came out of their show on Monday with Gotti.
Oh, my God.
You know,
unbelievable.
It is just riveting. I mean, it was like... So if anybody, the show is 2 hours, but if you go to listen to the show, it's basically just after the top of the hour. So it's like the last hour of the show is when Gotti comes on, and it is amazing and stuff. But, you know, the reason I called was you had mentioned, Dopey Joe and, the squad and all this kind of good stuff. And typically I will not – watch or listen to any speech given by Joe Biden, okay? I can't take it, okay?
No,
now,
who can?
When he made his comments about Israel yesterday, I happened to be online and this live stream box thing was staring me in the face. And I thought, you know, I'm going to click on this. And sure as hell, I clicked on it. And about 2 minutes later, he comes walking out. And so I listened to it. Did you see it?
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to. I mean, I've read transcript. I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not going to put. I mean, it's the airball handshakes that he gives. I mean, it's pathetic. It's pitiful.
Yeah. Well, my point is this: is I watched it, and you know, he's standing there at the podium, and he's got, you know, Kamala the lapdog behind him, and Anthony, I'm late in my loafers, blinking behind him, and I'm sitting there, and I thought to myself, you know, at that point in time, they had basically said that the death toll for Israelis was up to 1,200 people, okay?
Yeah.
1,200 in a country of 9 million, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
So 1,200 dead. We've got
14
dead. At the same time, we've got 14 dead Americans. And at that point, they were, like, guesstimating, you know, maybe 20 to 50 American hostages, okay? So Joe Biden comes out, and he talks for 10 minutes.
And you lasted you lasted that long?
Yes.
Wow.
10 minutes. Think about that, though. You got 14 dead Americans killed by a terrorist group in another country. You got upwards of 20 hostages, American hostages taken, and he spends 10 minutes, you know, and the 10 minutes is up, he turns around and walks off. You know, they're shouting questions, you know, hundreds of questions at him, he just walks out. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, don't you think with 14 Americans dead, you know, these aren't service men or women. I mean, these are housewives and college students and grandmas and stuff. I mean, these are American civilians dead in Israel, murdered, butchered, 20, 30, 40 more, you know, at the end being held as hostage by these raping pigs. And this guy, the leader of our country, comes out and won't even take a question, doesn't think to even address the fact that Americans were killed, address the fact that, you know, that the American people want to know what's going to happen with the hostages. Are we going to do something? I mean, it was just, it's beyond me.
It looks like now, Hawk and Mike just texted me, 22 dead Americans and 20 or more hostages.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And as he said, what is the U.S. going to do? I mean, let's put it this way. Do you trust – I mean, this is the scary part. It's almost like, do you trust this administration or this government, if you will? I'm not sure if I trust them to do anything before 2024, but I'm not sure I trust them to be able to wait until – it's frightening. We haven't even addressed what will happen here. You know, we haven't even gotten to that of who has come here, who has gotten through our border.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even.
It's gotten to the point. I mean, it's gotten to the point in this country that apparently 22 dead Americans just doesn't mean shit. No, big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a traffic accident out on I-94 here. Oh yeah. Well, we got 22 dead. I'm a lot older than you. I'm presuming.
I doubt it.
But I can remember 1983. Okay.
I do too. I was born in '62. So you know.
Okay, you're 4 years older than me, or 4 years younger than me.
Oh, 4 years
and
younger. Okay.
1980. So you remember 1983?
Oh, absolutely. I remember 1983.
There was – we had a guy that's president. I believe you remember his name was Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
And in 1983, we actually sent American troops to an island.
Called Grenada. You
remember the name of the island?
Grenada.
Grenada.
Yeah.
And And you're like, you know, why in the hell would America, the strongest nation in the world, be sending troops and special ops to Grenada? Because there was a concern that the American citizens, which were a lot of them were students at a college there, were going to be harmed by the revolting populace of that was turning into a Marxist state and so forth. So Reagan was so worried about those kids in Grenada being taken hostage or being killed that he sent the frickin' army in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Joe Biden turns around and walks away. The fuck? I mean, give me a break. I can't even keep it together.
Well, so Hawkeye Mike, one of my college roommates, just texted me something. I'm going to ask him to get on the line here if he's able to. He might not be in a position to, but he just texted me something. Said his brother is in the TSA. He says he has heard stuff that something may be brewing in the U.S. as regarding a terrorist attack. And he's right. He says Biden will have no place to hide if the U.S. is hit. But here, you know, it brought up a question. You remember after 9/11, how everyone was united for some time, and then suddenly I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was someone within, as I call it, Big Left. There was that mass email, not the Streisand email, but there was another email that said something to the effect of, why are we reuniting around George W. Bush? He stole the election, and we should be blaming him, not praising him.
Yep.
Remember? And so suddenly that – and it was around the beginning of 2002, I think. And now it really – you know, whatever that Jeremiah – Obama's pastor, Jeremiah Fruitcake – said now,
right.
Remember he said, it's come home to roost. Now it really has come home to roost. I mean, we allowed that sense of unity to utterly die.
Yeah.
We allowed people whose self-interest is more important than American interests for them to run our country. And guess what? It's already cost American lives. It will cost a lot more. We have allowed our borders to be almost non-existent. We keep hearing military-age, quote-unquote, refugees who come here without families. Nothing about being a refugee, about asylum, without knowing fully who they are, in some cases knowing that they are terrorists, knowing this, or insiders. I mean, it's beyond mind-boggling. And that's why I just don't get why I don't even know why he made that statement. I guess they felt they had to, but I'm not sure what the statement you were talking about. I'm not sure, in a sense, why he made that, knowing he wasn't going to take questions.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah,
no,
okay.
I mean, you know, he called a lid, whatever, was it yesterday or the day before, he called that, you know, the lid, the day's over, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell? I mean, what the hell? So I'm going to bring on Hawkeye Mike as well, so stay on the line, Holger.
Okay.
Mike, you there? Mike, are you there? He might have his mute on. He did that before, so I'll mute him again until he.
Well, you know, I was just going to mention that, you know, a pivotal little speech in this country was when George W. Bush stood up, you know, amidst, you know, everything that was going on after 9/11, and made that infamous statement that Islam is a religion of peace.
Yeah.
And,
I don't know how that ever got passed.
You know,
his PR people, whatever you want to call them.
I mean, the fact of the matter is this. This is these morons, the squad, and all these, you know, these lefties and all that, you know, they always try and portray this as some sort of, you know, political type struggle between, you know, the dominant Israelis and stuff. And it's like, okay, so the Hamas went and killed 1,200 people. Why? Because because they don't like living in this small area and stuff. No, they killed 1,200 Israelis because they're Muslims.
Yeah.
And it commands them to do that. They are mortal enemies. You know, we can't even have a discussion behind what is the motive behind it. It's like, oh, my God, they beheaded babies. Well, if you hated a Jew as much as these people do, that's what happens when they get their hands on one.
Exactly.
God.
I know. Hey, Mike, you there? Mike, are you there? He's logging in, but he's not hearing. We're not hearing sound. Okay, so T. Bodhi says, not defending, but the lid was called because of deposition that afternoon with him regarding documents and handling of case. Yeah, I doubt that he ever appeared. That would be my guess, but that's just me saying it. So, you know, here's the thing. I have like a, my own point plan, so to speak, like McCarthy does. And I got, you know, add to it anything. First of all, I'm saying, you know, I've said before, I don't really like boycotts, but right now I'm saying boycott anything and everything. Muslim, Arabic, Iranian, Iraqi, Egyptian, Moroccan, Saudi, Lebanese, I mean, restaurants, food stores, delis, markets, other businesses. I mean, why? Why should we continue to, you know, and then somebody will, well, because they're innocent. I don't care. I don't care if, the, you know, I mean, it goes both ways. Of those 1,200 Israelis, how many were, quote, unquote, innocent? You know what I mean? Don't shop at convenience stores owned or by them or run by them. I know that might be tougher for you where you are. But there are lots of alternatives between Wawa and 7-Eleven and Racetrack and Speedway and Casey's, Quick Trip. There are literally thousands of alternatives. But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying we've got – and I don't know how we get around the oil thing because we, of course, aren't producing our own oil anymore. But I don't know. I mean, what do we as average Americans do, you know? I mean, other than screaming at our president to open his mouth, but – I just don't know.
Well, you know, this whole idea that you know, if you listen to people like Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib or any of these other people, you know, what they want to have happen is this, okay? Hamas gets to sneak into Israel, murder a bunch of civilians, then they hightail it back into Gaza, and then Israel is supposed to just negotiate a truce.
Yeah. Or no,
and
not
so
supposed to,
I was going back.
They're supposed to give up their land is what they're supposed to do. It's not negotiate a truce.
I was supposed to. I was posting some stuff to Omar on Twitter, and I said, okay, so in other words, in March of 1945, U.S. and British forces from the West came to the border of Germany. And you're suggesting that they, since there were civilian Germans in the country, they should have just said, oh, well, turned around, went back to Normandy, and just said, well, we can't risk, you know, hurting any civilians. And Hitler would have lived to be 104.
Yeah, that's a sobering thought.
You know,
but,
I mean, good God. I mean, it's like, oh, is this the one time in the history of war and battle and retaliation? And, you know, the other thing I sent to her was like, okay, if Hamas had sent 200 fighters over and they killed 1,000 Chinese people, Chinese civilians, what do you think communist China would do to Gaza?
Yeah.
Do you think they would warn the people to get out?
Yeah, they would turn it into a hole in the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. You know, I guess as a Christian, I am not against the idea of warning civilians, et cetera, that something is going to happen. Reprisals are forthcoming. I don't have, you know. I can understand that as a Christian. As a strategist, I'm not so sure. But by the same time, you know, again, it's compassion, it's empathy, it's the understanding that, Although, yeah, the average guy there probably isn't a big fan of Israel. They don't hate him to the same degree. But again, it gets back to it's a power thing. I mean, you know, Obama doesn't empathize with the Israelis any more than he talked about 1953 borders, and people think, well, what's the significance? The significance was, since 1953, everything that's happened in those places has been developed by Israel, and they want it all back. You know, or he wants it all back. It's beyond disgusting, I guess. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me, Hank?
Yeah, I can hear you now. So
okay, good. Sorry about that.
So I want some of your thoughts, and since I have Holger on as well, some of your thoughts. You came up with you brought some amazing insight to the whole situation, and just want to hear some of your thoughts about it. Anything we haven't covered, or anything you think needs to be reiterated, or.
Well, I think you guys have done a pretty good job so far. I've liked to enjoy listening to Holger's comments, and totally agree. And this administration's response, I think, has been pathetic. I know some people are talking, oh, he gave such a tough speech yesterday. Didn't mention Iran once.
Exactly.
The administration is still saying that they don't have any, you know, saying they don't have direct evidence of Iran. Let me tell you, everybody knows, and everybody in Washington knows, that Iran's fingerprints are all over what happened Saturday. And they just don't want to have to deal with the reality of what comes next if they admit it.
Yeah.
And that's how pathetic and weak this administration is.
What do you think with the carrier strike group going there? Do you think U.S. involvement is imminent? Or do you think we're just there as support?
Well, I mean, even this administration, it would be malpractice of the highest order because I think there's a second carrier group coming into the picture somewhere too in the area. But look, this could easily, and this is what in many ways I think this is worse than 9/11. With 9/11, we knew we were going to go after the Taliban, Al Qaeda, and then maybe the Taliban for harboring them. Here you've got a real risk, I think, that this thing could go into a regional conflict because you've got Hezbollah in the north that's starting to make noise, and they're kind of a sword of Damocles right over Israel's head. I wouldn't blame Israel or be surprised if Israel decided to strike preemptively against them. And
has Hezbollah already sent rockets in?
I think they have. And there's actually larger numbers of them than there are Hamas. And the reports I've been reading, they got like 150,000 missiles, and a lot of them are pretty sophisticated. So they could really wreak havoc. And so the question then becomes, does Israel just wait to get hit? You know, will they start moving in on Gaza? Do they just wait to get hit? Or do they have to maybe act preemptively? And like you said, there's been some rumbling up there already. And they're absolutely as much as Hamas, if not more, backed by Iran. And I think that this thing, you know, we're already a warning Iran. I mean, I just think that there's a real risk this thing, when Israel goes in, could really spin out of control because, you know, it's been several days. Hamas has been booby-trapping everything in Gaza. They're going to do everything they can to try to exact as much pain on Israel as they can. I have heard that there are American special forces, and I don't know if they're in Israel, but they're very close. And we've offered, from what I've seen on the news just recently, last hour or so, to have some of our guys be available. And I mean, like SEAL teams and
Holger, you had a comment.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention that Mike is on that Monday show with Vito and Al with Gotti. If you haven't heard that show, there was a spot in that interview with Gotti where Gotti Edelman's got a lot of contacts in Israel, and he shared with the audience that there were reports that when they went, when the IDF went in and rescued some of these families and stuff that were in their safe rooms, that they were reporting that the terrorists were in their house, you know, obviously looking for them to kill them, but couldn't get into their safe room. And they those civilian Israelis reported that they were not speaking Arabic. They
right.
were speaking Farsi.
Yeah.
Which is Persian, which is,
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking.
You mean like maybe like Islamic, what do they call them, the Revolutionary Guard?
Yeah,
type,
IRG, absolutely. IRG.
Yeah.
IRG, absolutely.
So the point being is what if they sent 25 Hamas commandos into, let's say, one village, but they've got one or two, you know, Iranian Revolutionary Guard, you know, sergeants in that, you know, who are basically leading that group. Now, I heard on the radio today that there's people saying that Joe Biden knows about this stuff. He knows that Iran was directly involved in this, and
well,
they're withholding
I don't know how.
Their instinct is always to appease, to do everything to try to not have to react. They don't want to use force. They don't believe in the use of force, even in the face of this, even in the face of dead America. All they can think of is how do we calm things down. That's it's the State Department mindset. It's the left. And I don't know. I texted Hank on this. My brother works in the TSA, and he's got former military. He's got some contacts, and he said that, from what he's been seeing, he's on Twitter all the time. You can take that for what it's worth. That there's concern that the U.S. may be hit pretty soon.
I don't think there's any doubt.
Because these people have been pouring into our borders in the last 3 years. And there's probably sleeper cells everywhere, and all they need is a little direction from Iran, especially if we come into the conflict at all. You can don't think for a second that you won't be able that you that we won't couldn't see happen here what's happened in Israel.
And
well,
don't you?
And I'm really worried about it.
Yeah, go ahead, Halter.
We've had reports and basically factual reports that Hezbollah has been operating in South America and Central America for years.
Yeah.
For years. Hezbollah makes a lot of money off of drugs, okay?
Yep.
And you know, that's the connection. They're obviously close to the whole cocaine deal in South America and all that kind of good stuff. So the point being is if you've got Hezbollah in, frickin' Guatemala, you don't think Hezbollah wouldn't love to send 50 guys up, over the Rio Grande into Dallas? I mean, my God, they'd be licking their chops.
Yeah.
Well, I think even more than that, the cartels. I think Mexican cartels are in cahoots with these countries. Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, Revolutionary Guards. Don't think for a minute they are.
Yeah, exactly.
It is just crazy.
Yeah,
and I'll just finish. I need to get off Hank, but let me just finish with this thought because Mike brought up a great point about how big this thing could get over there. And I think that's the reason for the aircraft carrier from the U.S. being in the Mediterranean right now is mostly because if Hezbollah decides to go full press, they got enough right now to absolutely lay huge damage on Tel Aviv. You're talking killing a couple hundred thousand people. And I think that's the reason it's there. But I brought this up the other day. I said basically Iran has total influence over Iraq at this point. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, every time you pick up a newspaper or read something online, the Iranians are announcing this new ICBM missile that they got blah 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 blah, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so if the Iranians have a couple thousand missiles, sophisticated, probably just as sophisticated as what we and the Russians and the Chinese have, if they've got those sitting in Baghdad, what if that gets unleashed on Israel?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
There's all kinds of dangers here.
I mean, Saddam Hussein, you know, he caused a lot of havoc, man. You remember when he was lobbing those Scud missiles into Israel?
Yep, absolutely remember that. Yeah,
and,
even
and,
though we
I mean,
were
we saved their asses
we were
because we had the Patriot missiles, defense missiles.
Right.
But
you know, when we went in there, when we staged in Saudi Arabia, it was Israeli landmines that we had. But we couldn't use Israeli landmines in Saudi Arabia, so we had to paint American flags on them. That's how ill-prepared we were. That's
yeah.
how ill-prepared we were before Desert Shield. You know, we went into Saudi Arabia to stage because we were protecting the Saudi royal family, of course, and we literally had to paint Israeli landmines with American flags. And that's under, at that time, seemingly semi-security hawk president, you know, in George Bush. You know, so, but, you know, Mike made a comment about the State Department, but you look deeper, look at who we have had in our, I mean, first of all, Admiral Rachel Levine. How do you guys?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I know it's an honorary title, but how do you feel about Admiral Rachel Levine operating in this theater, so to speak? Or how about another former Department of Defense guy or Department of Energy guy, Sam Brinton?
Yeah,
with his space paint. You know, the pup handler. Literally, he's a pup handler. He helps guys at parties that act like dogs at gay parties. That's some of what we have in our Department of Defense, Energy, and Military. I mean, we've got people in the military that are more concerned about getting money or being able to get benefits of going over, you know, certain lines to get abortions in our military. We're worried about that. I mean, I'm already
that John Kirby just the other day, when they were, you know, in the face of all this, was being interviewed on Fox and was talking and reiterated how climate change is the biggest threat.
I know. What was the other one I heard? Indie Hawk said in our chat. What was it? Where was it? It was just a week or so ago. Yeah, a week ago, Joe Biden's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, said, his first post said, this didn't age well. Jake Sullivan said a week ago, the Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in two decades.
That's right up there with Neville Chamberlain, Peace in Our Time, right after he walked out of the deal with Hitler in fall of 1938, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, that's what we're facing.
And our Secretary of State just 2 days ago made a statement that Israel should adhere to a ceasefire, and he had to take the statement down. He got absolutely blitzkrieged on it. I mean, that's the Secretary of State.
But it tells you what their first impulse is.
Absolutely.
You know, what their mindset is.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, guys, I got to run here.
Okay. Thanks, Holger.
I'll be listening in, though.
Okay, Holger.
Here. All right.
Thanks for being
good
on,
seeing
man.
You. Yep, bye.
Yeah, Vito points out in the chat room, Jake Sullivan, an Obama alumni, all we need to know about these phonies and frauds. Absolutely. I mean, you look at who is in, and you know, Mike, you served in the Army years ago. I mean, would you have ever guessed? I mean, would we have ever guessed that we would ever see this anyway? But would you have ever guessed that the military would become that woke? Would it ever have occurred to you at the time?
No, not at all. You know, it's really when the mission is anything other than combat effectiveness, you're in big trouble. And I just, you know, I have no idea what's going on in the modern military. It wasn't that way when I was in. Of course, that was back in the Reagan years. But, you know, this just you asked me earlier my thoughts on what happened. And I just, you know, I mean, just like everybody, it's the most, the stuff I was seeing is the most appalling stuff.
Yeah.
And like I said, 9/11, I never thought I'd see anything like that, but this is just as bad, even though it might have been Israel and not America. But the evil that you see in the killing of these, they were targeting civilians. I mean, they killed some military too, but I mean, they were just going in to, like this outdoor concert where they killed 260 people or whatever. Just Just killing Jews.
Yeah.
Babies.
That'd be...
Children. Old people.
Yeah.
I don't even have words that are adequate to describe how revolting this is. You've seen it all, you think, and you've seen a lot of evil in the world, and there is a lot of it throughout history. Boy, it's things the human condition hasn't improved at all.
No, it hasn't. Vito has pointed, he said, when the goal is to systematically dismantle our republic, yeah, you emasculate the military. But, you know, here's what I don't understand about that. And it's a good point by Vito, but by the same token, did other countries where we've seen this kind of thing, they didn't, Russia, when it became the Soviet Union, they didn't need to emasculate the military. You know, Nazi Germany, they didn't emasculate the military. They didn't emasculate the military. And so that's why I don't understand. But then again, Khrushchev said, I will bury America from within, you know. Without firing a single weapon or whatever he said. I mean, it's literally that scary. And you look at pictures of our military.
You can go back further than that. You can go back to Abraham Lincoln himself, long before he was president, made this famous statement about the United States as a nation was destined to live forever. No one could defeat us. He goes, we're destined to live forever or die by suicide. And I think that's, I'm starting to wonder if that's what's going on now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm worried about, here's the one thing. We have seen an unprecedented amount of invasion of illegals or immigrants, whatever, refugees, illegals, et cetera. So that obviously, it can't be. I mean, we sit here and think it's just about them getting more voters, but God, there won't be voters if these kind of people, someone's asked, and this is a good question that somebody asked, do you think they would allow, not necessarily perpetrate, but do you think they would allow a terrorist attack in order to suspend the election? I mean, do you think that's something they would do?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to get in the mindset of these people. I wouldn't put anything past them, but I would say this. If there is a terrorist attack, and I do worry about it here in the U.S., Biden's got nowhere to hide because it's going to be completely his fault. We've seen what's happened. We've seen the porous borders, and the FBI and our security forces focus more on white supremacy in January 6th than on the true threats. Focus more on climate change than the real threats to this country. It's going to be solely, and the American people will blame it. I can't believe how stupid they are. They have a pretty damn good grip that I don't know about on what's going on with all these people coming into this country because I think we're just asking to get hit. And when it happens, he's going to have nowhere to hide. It's going to be his fault, alone.
Yeah, well, again, though, it makes me wonder this. Okay, so somebody made a post, a meme, and I know it's used on social media, but somebody made the point. Who would have thought, or isn't it ironic, that the people that said Trump was going to crash our economy and weaken our country are the very people that are doing – the people that said it are the ones doing it. I mean, it's literally – Vito points out, Hamas's charter calls for the annihilation of Israel. CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, what a sham, says Islam is not an America to be equal, but to become become dominant. The Quran, Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America and Islam the only religion. That's CARE.
Yeah.
AOC, this is what AOC said. Hold your post to this. Population of Gaza is about 2 million. Nearly half are children. Millions of innocent people cannot be made to pay for Hamas's horror. Collective punishment is a war crime. So are blockades to food and water. We cannot allow dehumanization to descend into further atrocity. What in the hell?
Well,
like I said,
some good news. I think a little bit of good news, maybe buck up your spirits, because I haven't seen this, but my brother said it just came out today. I'll check and verify this. Two new polls, state polls. And by the way, those matter more than national polls.
Sure.
Michigan. There's a poll out of Michigan that just came out, has Trump up 7 on Biden. I think he said it was an MRG poll. I don't know. I'll have to check on that. And there's an Emerson poll out of Pennsylvania that just came out today that has Trump up 9 on Biden. These Democrats are going to be getting pretty damn nervous.
Yeah.
You know,
I
you can't put too
would.
Much in polls, but that's a pretty bad trend, and it shows things are going south for Biden.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm hoping that we're gonna. You know, I mean, I don't know. I the polls. You know, like you say, they mean something, but just makes me wonder how it happened the first time. Like, although I guess maybe I don't know.
Of course,
I'm
if they've
not
got
gonna,
the elections rigged, I guess maybe it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, that's. I mean, I guess that's the big fear. Is, you know, are the elections rigged? You know?
Well, I think there's something to the point that Republicans have to be smart and start playing the game that the Democrats created. We can't, as I've heard many, like Sean Hannity likes to say this, you cannot have a situation where we don't take advantage of the early voting and the mail-in stuff. And legal ballot harvesting, if we should be involved in that too, because you cannot go into election day down hundreds of thousands of votes in some of these big swing states and then expect to make it up on election day. That's just too big of an ask. So we got to get in the game. We don't like the game, but, you know, Republicans got to start playing it. Got to be smart here.
It's sort of like, you know, in college football, NIL. We may not like NIL, but if we're going to, if it's there, we got to play it.
Exactly.
You know, Holder made a point, a really good point. So, you know, AOC says half of Gaza are children. What she doesn't mention, or what they don't mention, how many of the people in Hamas are 16 and 18-year-olds, you know? You know, they talk about, I mean, all this stuff. She literally says, population of Gaza is 2 million, nearly half children. Millions of innocent people cannot be made to pay for Hamas's horror. Well, wait a second. Who said that millions of people are paying for it? They've been warned. They're going to, I mean, and as I said before, every territory that Israel's ever occupied was not through Israel's motivation or inspiration. It was in response to being invaded. And so, yes, if they're going to go in and take back Gaza or control Gaza, damn right. I don't care. You know, I mean, I'm not sure why I'm supposed to care. Why doesn't she care? Does she not care about the children? And as Gotti pointed out on Vito's show, innocent, you know, we're talking 2 and 3 year olds in cages with these guys laughing at them, spitting on them, yelling at them.
Yeah.
Explain that to
it's just the scale of the evil is just. I mean, I'm amazed. I'm amazed that how amazed I am. It makes me think I've been naive my whole. I thought these people are thugs, and just scum of the earth. But what it takes to do this is just it's mind boggling to me.
Yeah, well, what it takes to respond this way is what.
Look at all the college students are just completely brainwashed by these commie professors over the years, if you're in the American left and or on college campuses, academia, Israel has always been the enemy. So it's almost reflexive. So, and the Palestinians are always the oppressed. That's how twisted this is. There's a whole bunch of other issues where it's just unbelievable what these people believe, too. But on Israel has always been the villain. Of course, they hate America, everything about America. We're a white supremacist, slaveholding past. You know, none of these people, none of our founding fathers are. They're all scum. Yeah, I mean, this is taken over the campuses, and this has infected the minds of a lot of young people. And the Israel is evil is one of these tenets. They don't know how to deal with something like this.
But here is some stuff that Holger and Vito are throwing back and forth in the chat room. And think about it. It's joking probably, but it's actually scary. Holder says, if we have a terror attack or attacks inside of America in the next few weeks, the Biden regime and the mainstream media will paint it as a MAGA terror attack. He says they have that control. And you're thinking, okay, but literally, Vito pointed out, since Joe Biden is being programmed and really doesn't know, Jake Sullivan will advise him that. You know, I mean.
Well, I think that, you know, who knows what the left thinks, but you talk about middle American, middle people that decide elections, and most Americans are not going to blame Trump if we get hit by a terrorist attack.
Right. Vito said you nailed it, I think. I think he was talking about when you were talking about the leftist college professors and stuff like that, but I think he might have also talked about we got to play their game. So. But he says he's not joking. Biden is being controlled. I think that's absolutely the case. I don't think anybody disputes
that. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Whoever's running things is, I don't think it's Biden. By the way, Obama is an Israel hater. You're saying earlier, I do. You know, he'll never admit it, but I do think he's a Muslim, and or at least has sympathies toward Islam.
Well,
that means that you blame Israel.
Somebody made
anything. He's not said hardly anything on his Twitter or anything
Do you remember?
He was dead silent for days.
Do you remember when his supposed birth certificate came out and they said stuff was redacted that was probably stuff about, you know, other family members, and somebody else pointed out bullshit. It was probably the fact that he was a Muslim. You know, and
right.
You know so much about the guy. It's like I've said. I really am wondering whether Michelle Obama really is Big Mike, and that's part of the reason for all the normalization of the. No, seriously though, think about it, all the normalization of the trans stuff. Because guess what? If Michelle Obama really does, you know, if Michelle Obama really does get into the race, and I don't think she will yet. But if she does, I think it's clear that, you know, they would have to vet, and then I think something somehow would come out. Big Mike is a dude. Obama, we talk about, Holger says Obama killed his chef because the guy wouldn't give a handjob. I think you're off on that one, Holger. As a paddleboard guy, there were too many things that happened. I think, and Vito and Al nailed the fact that the only reason there would be Secret Service there is because of family member. I think the chef was getting it on with one of the Obama daughters. I think that's what it was. The unnamed staffer was an Obama daughter. I think that's what it was. So I don't know. I'm lost at this point. But at least I've been able to vent a little with everyone, so that I'm not just like.
Needs to vent after what's happened the last.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's funny how you get up. I'm getting up thinking, hey, football today. And turn the news on, and it's like the way this stuff can just come out of the blue. That's amazing too.
Yeah. Well, so let's get to football since we've got a little bit of time left. So Georgia won big. Alabama pulls off a win. USC goes three overtimes on that, you know, 2-point conversion thing. Oklahoma gets a big win. Louisville, that was a shock. Bitch slap Notre Dame. Washington State and Fresno State both go down on the road, but Louisville, I think, is the one they're not talking about. But
that was a real surprise. I thought Notre Dame was pretty good. You know, they barely got nipped by Ohio State. I thought they were for real.
Yeah, and the way they came back against Duke, but the stupidest play, the stupidest game of the weekend. I mean, something that no coach. I mean, okay. Up to this point, remember the Harbaugh punt against Michigan State where the punter fumbled and then, you know, threw it away and the Michigan State? Well, that got beat this weekend, I think, with the Miami-Georgia Tech game. Did you see that sequence of events?
No, I didn't. I'm not aware of this.
Okay, so 26 seconds left. Georgia Tech has no timeouts. Miami, I think it was second or third down. So they can run four downs. Run a play. You know, sit on the ball. You're not even run a play. You know, just take a knee, et cetera. They hand off. The guy fumbles. Georgia Tech gets it, I think, or gets it with 26 seconds left. They run three plays, I think.
Play.
Yeah, they run three. It was a Flutie play. They run two or three plays and score on a 44-yard bomb on the last play of the game. And literally, I mean, remember the movie All the Right Moves with Tom Cruise where he talks about, I should have told him to take the safety. It was that stupid. I mean, I mean, both Ferentzes are off the hook for anything they've ever done at this point, at least up to this point.
Oh, man.
So, Yeah, they literally could have taken a knee, run out the clock. They handed off, fumbled, and I mean, it's literally. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they got away with it. I mean, how
By the way,
still the
coach. I don't know what your thoughts are, but my first experience watching a game on Peacock with the Hawks last week,
weren't we on Peacock?
I kept losing the signal. I don't know if you were having that issue or not.
Weren't we on Peacock the week before?
No, it was the week before when we beat Michigan State. It was on.
It was on NBC.
It was on NBC.
Yeah, it was on both. So if you were watching on cable, you were watching on NBC. So here's the thing with Peacock that I've been seeing. I've had Peacock for a while. I think it's a great service.
Yeah, no,
I've been using it to watch other stuff.
Yeah.
But what was happening, it depends on how you – like I heard if you subscribe to Peacock through like Amazon Prime or through an affiliate, that those people were having problems. If you had direct Peacock –
okay, that may be what happened with me because yeah. You think I get it that way.
Yeah, if you had direct Peacock, like just, you know, subscribe directly, they weren't having problems. And that's what I, you know, I subscribed directly through Peacock, so I wasn't having that issue, thank God. So.
And the two announcers, they were new too. Now, I'm not saying they were bad, they weren't bad, but I had never heard them before.
I thought they were good as well. So the Big Ten last week, Nebraska beat Illinois pretty easily. So I guess Illinois really did lose a lot of people.
I'm sure Brother Tom's not happy.
He doesn't care, but he's just saying he was kind of shocked, but not shocked. Maryland stayed with Ohio State for a while there. They made a game of it. Rutgers was basically outmanned, but they gave Wisconsin a decent, you know, they fought. Howard at Northwestern. Northwestern wins by 3. That was not a shock, but it was their Northwestern just isn't good. And then Michigan obviously is. They went to Minnesota. They won 52-10. I mean, it was a pretty much a blowout.
And Minnesota's it's struggling. I think that PJ Fleck's in a little bit of trouble up there, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. So let's get to the Hawks. First of all, I want to say very happy birthday this week to Roy Higgins, the father of Jay Higgins. It was his birthday yesterday or the day before. Great guy. Follow him on Twitter. Interact with him on Twitter. Super great guy. So, look, last week the game wasn't as close as it got. I mean, I think we could have run the ball, you know, run it out. I don't know why we let, you know, the defense looked shaky right on that one drive, you know, late score. But basically the D looked good. Jay Higgins, by the way, Roy's son, got that interception. 6 sacks by the defensive line. Cooper DeJean, another interception. The offense. I mean, Caleb Johnson looked good. That run, he was averaging big yards, and then
I was going to say, I think I'm not overly upset about it. I wish we played better on offense, but you know, we did get over 300 yards of total offense, and pretty good about 200 of it on the ground. The problem was, and it should have been as close because I think we had at least 2 times we're down inside the 10 and couldn't get it in the end zone. Got to do better.
Yeah.
They moved the ball down there and then couldn't get it done, and had to settle for field goals, which, you know, really instead of when it was 20-6, it could easily have been 28-6.
Yeah.
And then you know, what that touchdown at the end wouldn't have been a big deal, whereas it made things uncomfortable when it happened. But it's a work in progress with this guy. The quarter is his first full game, and he, you know, made some bad throws. I think that he just needs a little bit more savvy, so I'm willing to give him. I mean, it's going to take a little time. I think he's got an arm like a cannon. I think he handles the ball fairly well, so I'm hoping he'll get better.
Yeah,
he's going to have to be better this week, or we're going to be in trouble. But that last touchdown he threw was a thing of beauty.
Yeah,
so
it was.
Hopefully we'll see more of that. That was a great throw
to Eric All. Totally came through when it counted. No doubt about that. That was awesome. But boy, up until that point, he was not looking that good. I mean, as somebody pointed out, we won a game without completing a single pass to a wide receiver. So, I mean, how many? Caleb Brown, the Ohio State transfer, he didn't play last weekend either, but supposedly personal reasons. And, you know, someone's saying, you know, does he just want to get out.
Now, again,
you know,
there were a couple drops again this week. And
yeah.
The one thing I would point out about Hill, and in the first game when he came in after McNamara got hurt, he was throwing it to the receivers. They dropped a bunch of passes in the Michigan State
yeah.
game, and they dropped two or three more in the Purdue game. And
yep.
we need to remember some of the catches all made, not just the touchdown. I mean, a couple long catches where he made some
yeah,
great
yeah,
catches.
Another net.
And
yeah.
and we need other guys to come through and make those catches. Because I think that Hill's got to develop a little bit of a touch. He throws it a little bit hard sometimes, and it tends to sail on him. I mean, we saw that a little bit with the early days with Nate Stanley. So hopefully, that's something the quarterback sneak is back in the equation now.
Yeah,
good.
I still would like to see Joey Labus and maybe even Marco Lanes get some snaps at quarterbacks, because I think now with Cade
yeah.
out. I think the proof is there. Anything can happen to your quarterback. Now, Deacon Hill is built a lot
yeah.
more like Nate Stanley, so injury's probably not going to be an issue there, but, you know, you just don't know.
Well,
I mean,
it wouldn't have been bad to give Labus a chance in the second half, I have to say. I was kind of
yeah.
thinking that way, too. But I think, you know, and I understand it, Ferentz, you know, you're breaking in a new quarterback. You want to give him a little bit of some leeway to try to get his legs. But I think if he's not cutting the mustard at Wisconsin in the first half Saturday, that they do need to look at maybe giving someone else a chance.
Yeah. So Holger just gave some breaking news. The House, the Republicans have chosen Steve Scalise as their nominee for Speaker of the House.
I did see that. Huh?
Okay. Does that shock you?
No. I mean I think, you know, Jordan was kind of my choice, but Scalise is fine. I think
yeah.
Scalise is a little bit more conventional, so probably some of the moderates who are pretty upset about what happened with McCarthy probably got pretty much behind Scalise. The key thing was not that they would get somebody picked. The key thing is, do they get people to be, you know, unanimity when they go out onto the floor and have to vote for it? We don't want to have 15 rounds because people are voting for other people. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
The other thing is that they're supposed to be, and Vito says Jordan is doing a lot of work on the Justice Committee. That's true. I think that's maybe
right.
that.
It goes back
that,
to being Judiciary Committee Chairman, which, you know, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, you know, they're supposed to be changing that rule about, you know, vacating the speakership. So,
well,
you know, that's
you know,
that's
it's,
another
it's
thing.
It's tough when you have, like, a handful of people can do that because, you know,
yeah,
whatever
I'm,
the criticisms were of McCarthy, it did not help things to, and some of this was vendetta. I think Gates has got a personal
issue.
I
think it clearly was. But I had problems with McCarthy. I admitted that. I thought, you know, everything seemed to be dragging. But, boy, his speech Monday was absolutely a thing of beauty. I mean, it rivals right up there with the show that Vito and Al did Monday, which was amazing. I mean, that show was amazing. And Gotti, Adelman was incredible. You got, like I said, go into the archives, people, and listen to that show because it's absolutely
okay.
incredible.
I will do it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Holger says they picked Scalise because the cabal had Scalise shot. He knows his place. Okay, now we're getting into
yeah.
the But again, you know, that's you think about that. It's, you know, and maybe that's the sympathy side that they're going for is that Scalise, you know, has come back from being
yeah.
shot. So, you know, and he's not
at
come back.
At this point, you know, like I said, I would have preferred Jordan, but I mean, just need to get Cole Lesser on somebody and get him in. Need to get a speaker in the chair.
Yeah. Although
so
the other rule, I
can't
would
do
say,
a damn thing until that happens.
Yeah. True, you know, it's just
I don't know,
here's the other thing. I didn't bring it up while Holger was still on the line, but think about this. You know, I say, do you trust this administration? Would you trust what if it becomes Kamala Harris, whether through the death of Dopey Joe choking on some ice cream
well
or
that,
Obama
that's,
having
that's,
it taken
that's
out
truly frightening
Yeah. Is there the
thought of this woman in the Oval Office and making the decisions? It would be such a disaster. I can't even express, you know, fully how much of a disaster I think it would be. That's the only reason. That I, you know, pray for Biden's health every day.
I know. I remember you saying that back at the time when it was clear that he was going to be president. I remember you saying, you will pray for his health each and every day. And man, truer was never spoken. I mean, I literally, the thought of Kamala Harris sitting in the Oval Office.
Well, that's a big thing. Whoever the nominee is, it's likely to be Trump. They need to just say, look, you vote for Biden, you're going to get Kamala Harris as president of the United States. Just everybody understand that that's almost certain to happen, I think, in the next term if Biden wins again. Because I think that scares the hell out of a lot of people.
I can't imagine
it should,
how,
and
at
it
this
should.
Point. I can't imagine at this point how he could win. First of all, I really don't think he'll.
No.
He'll.
I want him to be the nominee for the Democrats. I don't want him to step down.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
no,
who are they going to put in there? They can't be as bad as him. You got Magoo right now as president.
You remember they used to joke about some of the Supreme Court justices that would fall asleep, you know, during, you know, proceedings and stuff. But we've never had a president that did that, as far as I know, at least not in my lifetime. I mean, there were several that were asleep at the wheel constantly. But, I mean, I've never, you know, I mean, seriously, not asleep. Like, I mean, this is a guy that will fall asleep during a press conference where he's the speaker at that conference. I mean, it's frightening. But, again, it's still less frightening than Kamala Harris being that. I mean, what happened? And I don't remember. I mean, okay, so she would become president, and it's like Ford that picked Rockefeller as a vice president. That's right, nominated Rockefeller. So it doesn't go up the chain. In other words, the Speaker of the House doesn't become vice president, blah, blah, blah. So that's not the issue. So, but yeah, would we want, and this is what I asked before, last week after the McCarthy thing, is, you know, whoever has picked a speaker, would you want that person as a president? Would Scalise be a decent president? I mean, I would feel confident with a Jim Jordan as president, for instance. Scalise, I don't know. Now,
I have some concerns about his health, too. I don't know if he's ever fully recovered from the wound. Plus, apparently, he's fighting cancer.
I don't – that's what I saw, but I'm not sure he is. Let me quickly Google that. Again, Steve Scalise.
I think he had some sort of tie up. Now, I think he said that, you know, it's under control and he's, you know, be all right. But still, you know.
Oh, okay. Multiple myeloma, responding to treatment phenomenally well. Medical team reduced the months of chemo he has to undergo as a result. So,
glad to hear it.
Yeah. So, okay. Good.
But
Jordan was a little
more dynamic, I think, and. Scalise, you know, he'll be all right, but it's just, you know, I think that, you need somebody that's a speaker that can really stand up to Biden and the Democrats, you know, it's that simple.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
so we'll see.
And the other thing is, though, who would a Kamala Harris pick as a vice president? Who would they pick for Kamala Harris as vice president?
Whoever she picked would probably be better than her.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. If under the Constitution, the vice president becomes president, the choice they have, this has only happened one time. It was when Ford picked Rockefeller.
Right, Rockefeller, right.
The Congress has to approve. So the Republican House, why would you approve anybody?
Yeah, but that's
then
not
the,
necessarily.
The number two person becomes the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, but it would be the leader of the Senate, you mean?
No, the succession would be president, vice president, speaker.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
speaker.
Yeah. But I'm,
so
but
if
I'm,
there's no
I'm
vice
saying,
president, the speaker is effectively vice president.
Well, but until – well, but is, does it actually work that way, would it? That's an interesting thought.
It would up until the election. You know, they'd nominate let's say Harris became president and she got nominated, run in 24, then she'd pick a vice president. If they won, God forbid, then that person would be the vice president. But in the meantime, if she if something happened to Biden, she becomes president. No one becomes vice president unless Congress, both houses, approve it.
Right. And so that would be?
What incentive would Republicans have to approve anybody?
Okay, so Holdren says, so if Biden dies and Kamala Harris dies and there is no speaker yet, guess who is president? It's the president pro tem of the Senate, who is the longest
serving. Get a speaker fast.
Who is that? It's the longest serving senator, correct?
President pro tem, yeah. Whoever, I don't know who
is
that is now. It's
the longest serving
Democrat.
Senator. Oh, Patty Murray. He says it's Patty Murray.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Get a speaker quick.
Yeah. Oh, my God. but the other thing about
these people that are the leaders that they have in the Democratic Party.
But see, again, that's why I say about the Republican side, if you're talking about the speaker, you know, and even when you're talking about the choice of vice president, you know, you're talking about person in succession for president. So you got to, you know, if you wouldn't want this person as your president, do you really want him as your speaker or your, you know, president pro tem is a different.
Well, you know, look, as I said, I thought Jordan would have been better, but Scalise is okay. If that's the choice, you know, Jordan's now endorsing him, and they need they need to get all the Republicans to get behind him, and let's get the guy in speaker's chair, you know, and then move on.
Yeah.
You know, you can have another fight again after the next election if you want.
Right. Right. But the other question becomes, what, you know, they talk about, well, we need the House to be working, you know, on this whole response. Well, you know, at this point, American response is can only be that we support Israel, I think. I don't think we can call for military action. I don't think we should anyway. In fact, on the show, and Vito will back this up or hold you in the chat room, Gotti had a really interesting take on what the U.S. should do. Gotti's take was really, you know, it's not that they don't, you know, despise the U.S., but Israel wants to handle this themselves. They love the support of America. They appreciate the support of America. They don't want the American military there.
No, I don't think we should be stepping on their toes. So, I mean, but you know what, though?
But they don't want
it's
us.
It's Americans
to.
Who were killed, and it's Americans who are held hostage. The Gaza Strip is not Israeli territory. We have every right. Yeah. Now, we should coordinate with Israel. But we have every right to go in and rescue our people and take revenge on these thugs for killing Americans. That's not something that we should ever advocate. Now, we should work with Israel, and I don't foresee large American ground forces going into Israel. A, they wouldn't want them, and it wouldn't be necessary. Israel's more than capable of doing the job. But as far as these hostages and what these terrorists did, killing Americans, you know, I think that they should not take off the table American military action to rescue these people or because they've done it to Americans.
Yeah, but remember something else, and this is a precedent in this regard. Remember in 1972. Now I know this was in Germany, but in 1972 in Munich, the, you know, Golda Meir and others, Moshe Dayan, wanted to send the Mossad in or whoever to get the Israeli Olympic hostages out. And that was refused. So, you know, in that regard. Now, you're right, though. Gaza is not Israeli territory. But, you know, I think we need to give Israel first run on this. Let's put it that way. I mean,
no,
if
I agree.
We don't,
I think they should try to coordinate with Israel on this. But by no means should we just be you know, shipping off to someone else. These are Americans
that are held hostage. Absolutely.
You know, so.
But we should also, I think, be able to trust that Israel will do what's in our best interest. In that regard, I think. Let's put it this way. I trust Israel to make the move a lot more than I trust any directive from this administration.
Well,
even
I don't
if it is military,
I don't think Biden would ever do anything.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but yeah, you know, I mean, but no, your point's well taken. I think that Israel, you know, just
look, if we've got some good dudes though with the SEAL teams and Delta Force, especially at hostage rescue. Certainly I think we should be coordinating. And from what I understand, we have some pretty good relationships with Israeli special forces. So I think, you know, obviously no large American forces are going into Israel. But I could see some clandestine way, some American SEAL teams or something maybe flying and being used.
Yeah, being used in concert with the Israelis. Absolutely. I can see that.
Exactly.
So in that regard. Okay.
And maybe British SAS too. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, that'd be the Israelis' call, not ours. Let's put it that way. So,
yeah.
Okay, so let's talk real quickly this weekend's game. So, Gonson, I think, is a 10-point favorite, believe it or not. If I'm not mistaken, 10-point or probably increased even. Wisconsin is a 10-point favorite. The over-under is 35. So here's the thing. The leading passer coming into the game is Tanner Mordecai from Wisconsin, transfer from SMU, 1,021 yards, 3 TDs, 3 interceptions. Leading rusher, Braylon Allen from Wisconsin, Chaz Malusi or whatever, is out. But the leading rusher, 472 yards. Now, I don't know how much Caleb Johnson has, but, I mean, he's had it in less games, and he had a good game last weekend. And then Eric All is the leading receiver between the two teams, 19 receptions, 288 yards, 3 TDs. So do the Hawks cover? Gut feeling, 10 points, do you think the Hawks cover?
Yeah, I do. I think they do.
Okay.
I think they're the underdog, but I by no means. I mean, this was always the game, right? This is the Big Ten West. And
yep.
I don't think Wisconsin I'm not sold on how good they are. They look pretty good against Rutgers, but they haven't. Yeah. I mean, who have they beat? They lost to Washington State. I think Iowa can look. Iowa's going to have to play their best game. Their offense is going to have to kind of buck things up a little bit. But I certainly think, especially if you can get a turnover or two, I think Iowa's got there's all to play for here.
Yeah, I would agree.
Nobody I want to beat more than Wisconsin. I just feel like they're the greatest rival.
Yeah, I agree. I think we can cover, and I think we can win. But I mean, I would certainly agree what we will cover. Now, here's the other thing.
And I think it'll be under 35, by the way.
Yeah. I agree. I think it'll be under 35. I think that's the only way Iowa wins. I think if it goes to the over, then I don't think we win. Maybe cover, but I don't think we win if it goes to the over.
17-14, and we'll see who wins.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the famed 2015 game, 10-6.
Yep.
2020 and last year, you kind of got to take those off the table because, frankly, we're just. Wisconsin, those weren't good Wisconsin teams and all that stuff. But
how much better is Wisconsin than they were last year? I mean, they got a quarterback, that's true. But they had Braylon, they had the same running backs, basically.
Yeah, they had Chaz Malusi's out. Jalen Berger has gone on to Michigan State, although I think he was gone last year, too. But I don't know. Are they still running the 3-4? I'm not even sure of that. So.
No, I don't know.
In either case, not having Jim Leonard is a huge thing in and of itself. Because I think he was part of what made them so good was that he just had that mind, for them. So.
I'm hoping with Caleb Johnson, maybe we're, I saw some encouraging things in the run game. We'll see.
Oh, definitely.
And I think, by that I mean, we know Caleb Johnson's good, but I thought. They've gone to a little more trap blocking and less zone blocking, which I think they needed to do. And I think the offensive line is just starting to pick things up with the run, basically.
And frankly, pass blocking was pretty good, too. I mean, there were some
need to be a little sharper.
Yeah, he needs to slow the game down in his head a bit. So let's hope that's what happens. So anyway, well, let's call it a night. I believe it or not, I'm worn out after that rant earlier. So I don't know, but what do we look for the next, say the next week or two? What do you think should will be seeing?
Well,
you think we're gonna Well, I mean, do you think there's going to be
a... It's going to be when do they actually go in, and I think it could happen any minute, any day. But I think also they probably feel like, hey, they're not going in until they got things, you know, they want to maybe want to soften things up. But I think it's going to happen pretty quick. So a week from now, that's the thing to be looking for.
Yeah. So I mean, they have Israel has done airstrikes, though, correct?
Oh yeah, a lot.
Yeah, but they just have not gone.
They've been hitting Gaza really hard.
Yeah, so they just have not gone.
The Hezbollah thing, that's another wild card. We'll have to see what happens up there.
Yeah, but they have not. It has not become a boots on the ground thing. Well, Hezbollah, the difference
not
there
yet.
Too. Hezbollah, that would mean going into Lebanon, correct?
Also, remember, Hamas has been threatening to film executions of these hostages. They start doing that. First of all, I think that's a mistake from a PR standpoint. That's just going to make the world will be repulsed by that. So they maybe with their own fanatics, they'll think that's great, but I think that would be a PR mistake. But I've been hearing that that's what they're threatening to do, and it could just be a threat. But we'll see. We'll see if that happens.
I think if they do that, I think yeah. I don't even see how the squad could stomach that. Although I do see how the squad can stomach that because of the minds of those people are so twisted and so effed up that it just wouldn't matter to them. I mean, it really
yeah,
wouldn't.
Like it's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or again, it's Israel's fault, which again I don't know how I just don't know how people have come to that conclusion.
The pent up anger from years of oppression.
Good God,
justified that way.
I just I just can't. I really can't. So, okay, well let's call it a night and have a great rest of the week. Have a great weekend. We'll be texting obviously on Saturday. So let's go Hawks.
Exactly.
And frankly.
Thanks.
Frankly, you know, I should say, let's go Israel. I mean, we need to keep praying for the country, for the people. Pray for our hostages. Pray especially for their hostages. When I hear that there are little
Amen.
Kids,
and I've been doing
I'm sick. I'm sickened by it. I'm just sickened by it.
It is. It's the most appalling stuff. What I've been reading. I've been seeing some of the, you know, even the fuzzed out pictures. And I think they need to. That's another thing I wanted to point out. I mean, they need to show these. I know it's tough, but people need to understand what the brutality and the
yep.
evil that has been inflicted.
Yep. And Gotti talked about that the other night, that it's not for the weak of stomach or the weak of heart, but you know what? If you want the reality, you're going to have to face it. So let's go out with some happier music. We'll go out with a great pumpkin waltz in honor of Charlie Brown. The great pumpkin Charlie Brown.
You haven't watched that yet. If you watch, I watch it every year.
I've got the DVD, so I'll be watching it in the next couple of days. So cool. Have a good weekend, man, and we'll talk to you over the weekend. Good night, folks. Again, pray for our hostages. Pray for Israel and its people. And in a sense, I hate to say it like this, but pray for our government, because as Obama said about Biden, the propensity to and capacity to fuck it up is real. Have a good one, folks. Let's send you out with a little Charlie Brown. Thank you. I would be remiss, of course. So thank you to Duck Northwest Media for being here, getting in right away. Holger, coming in and giving us a great call and some great insight. And Vito as well, all of them contributing in the chat room. And, of course, thanks to Mike for being on and to T-Bodie for also listening in. Folks, I can't stress it enough, in addition to pray for Israel and its people, but please give a listen to the Vito and Al show from Monday, the 9th of October, which also happened to be one of my sister's birthday, but that's not the point. The point is listen to this show. As Holger pointed out, when Gotti comes on about the top of the hour, it's about the last hour of the show. Really, it's important to listen to it, to understand from the perspective of someone who has a lot of context, not just within the Jewish community, but in Israel itself. What they're going through is, in a sense, worse than what we went through on 9/11. On 9/11, it was done. It was over at that point. This is something that's ongoing on 9/11. But in fact, you know, Islam hasn't gotten any more civilized in that time. It just hasn't. The terrorists, the people, the whole shebang. It hasn't gotten any better. And as I said, I wasn't going to pull punches on that. From the fakeness of what is called Palestine to the fakeness of people that are calling themselves Palestinians, the whole nine yards. God bless, folks. God be with America, and God especially, please be with Israel. Amen.